everyone. I'm Lindsay Lewis, editor of Building Enclosure. Thanks for listening along with us today. Today, Laura Franco-Borick is here to discuss empowering diversity and inclusion within the building enclosure industry. Laura is a member of the board of directors for the Southern Ontario chapter of IBEC and works with their diversity and inclusion task force team in the U.S. and in Canada. Laura, thanks for sitting with us today.
Thanks, Lindsay, for having me.
So you recently had a Women in Studies forum. Can you tell us a little bit about what went into that?
Yeah, for sure. So we had our very first annual National Women in Student Building Science Forum. We hosted that through the IBEC Southern Ontario and also the Quebec chapter. It was our very first annual event that we held. It was on April 7th of this year. It consisted of a panel of experts in the building and enclosure sector. And we had two keynote speakers, which were our provincial Minister of Colleges and Universities, Honorable Minister Jill Dunlop, and Canada's Minister of Women and Gender Equality and Youth, Honorable Minister Marcy Yin, participate. Our panels of experts, they conferred their challenges, their experiences, and career paths. We also had some breakout sessions for the students to engage in small groups with the experts and allowed some mentorship to happen. And really to dig deep into the different professionals in building science who share diverse backgrounds. And furthermore, we also gave away some scholarships to local students in universities and colleges. Our goal really is to continue with the form for next year and for the future of IBEC and maybe incorporate it into the U.S. because when we were at the convention in Florida this year for IBEC, as a convention in Florida, we had the students attend, and you know, I was asking most of them, and some of them, most that were from the U.S., you know, wanted to participate, but unfortunately, they weren't eligible for the scholarships. So it looked like they had so much interest and were really expecting it to also be global and into the U.S. especially. So we're hoping we can make that happen with our diversity and inclusion task force team this year.
Sure. So architects and consultants that are already well established in the industry, what can we take away from forums like this?
Well, I think it's important to bring awareness to the issue that we have with diversity and with inclusion in our sector. And I think that what's really important is for people to realize, like, I've been in the industry all my life, so over 40 years. My dad's the founder of Artistic Skylight. I'm now the managing partner. We've been around for 42 years. I led the team to the global expansion to the U.S. market. So for me to be in this sector and to see the success of generations, we're on our third generation already. So to see the passion that we all carry forward, and me being female, my brothers, you know, coming from also diverse background, European background. So we could see and sense the lack of interest or how much more effort we had to put in to be acknowledged in the sector. And so I think that's what drove me to want to be part of, you know, driving this nationally and globally. And we know there's an issue with it worldwide. So, you know what, why not put some more awareness to it? And it comes from the top, and it comes from the executive teams. It comes from the professionals that are already out there in the sector. I think that they, along being architects and professionals and engineers, they are the voice for the new generations to come. And when we acknowledge and bring awareness within ourselves, then we can portray it onto students and the future generations. That's why it's very important for them to engage with the students. Our experts on the panel, they had amazing conversations, and everyone learns from one another. The, you know, the panelists, the experts learn from the students, and the students learn from, and it's amazing because we had a focus group. We had a little bit of conversation afterward with the panelists and just, you you know, the committee team. And that's what we discussed. Like, everybody takes something away from it, even if it's the smallest thing, you know, and they took something away that day too, the experts. So are the professionals on the board, the panel, and the attendees. And we got great feedback. And I just, you know, have a lot of hope for it to grow in the coming years. And hopefully we can engage even other and include other means of diversity, not just women and not just students.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the main challenges for minorities in the industry? Are they experiencing issues breaking into the industry, or are they having more issues once they're actually in our industry?
For minorities, you said, right?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry, you were cutting out. Okay. Listen, like I said, I've been in this industry all my life almost. Mm-hmm. And so I've seen the challenges with minorities. We were minorities. And, you know, and I know that that's an issue in all North America. It's probably a global issue, but mm-hmm. I know for sure here in North America, it's an issue. And so it's really important that from, you know, to be able to acknowledge that there shouldn't be minorities. We should all be equal on the earth. And it doesn't matter if you're Black or white or female or non-female or transgender or whatever you are. It doesn't matter if you're a student, because it's amazing how you can learn from everybody, anybody. You know, I talked to my little niece, she's 3 years old, and I learned something new. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter what profession you have. You can be, you know, a top PhD graduate and you have somebody that's just a hairstylist, but the knowledge that they bring within themselves, the experiences they have, the conversations that they have with all their clients when they go cut their hair. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine how much knowledge comes into them? Like, they're so diverse. They don't even know mm-hmm. how much they hear stories. They have clients that, you know, work for Parliament. They have clients that maybe work for, you know, a manufacturing company. They have construction workers. They have all sorts of people that they learn from. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter who you are, what sector you're coming from. It doesn't matter if you're female or male. It doesn't matter how young you are. You're always learning, and you can always bring some knowledge. Now, how does it tie in with our sector? It ties in with art. Everyone has an artistic side to them. Females, 100%. Females are also known for being multitaskers. And to have on a team, it doesn't matter if you're working in what sector you work, but mainly in our sector, women bring so much enthusiasm. They bring so much more artistic creativity to what they do, and passion, because that's how women are built. So really, when you have a team player like that doing whatever, if they're a draftsman or, you know, a consultant, that's why they are so successful at what they do. And I'm an entrepreneur. I hire a lot of women in our sector. I find that they have their skills, their talents, oversee anything. And especially because sometimes you have to prove yourself in a male dominated world. And I know mm-hmm. because I did that all these years, I've done it. So I know that I had to step up all the time. So, and that's what makes us successful as women.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. So we know there's challenges. We want change. How do we advocate for it?
So I think it's really important to start educating the minors. I think that it comes from a younger age, how we look at people, and what, not only to look at a person, how they look physically, but also to engage in their brain. Like, what are our children taught, for example, in schools? Like, how many parents really know, right? Mm-hmm. There's a small percentage probably. And really tap into, you know, our counselors in our schools. Like, what advice are they giving? Well, I know, because I just been through this with my daughter, and she's in grade 12, and she had a counselor at her school, nice lady, But there were so many parents that I had to hear say the same thing. They had the same challenges. They had to guide the counselors. They still had to guide their children on what paths to take. Okay. So they, our school systems fail us in a sense because they have these counselors that sit there, don't even know how to, they don't even know, they don't encourage them STEM. Okay. They don't encourage them skill traits. They don't encourage professions like a female in the engineering sector. Now you're starting to hear it more because now a lot of us are advocating for this, and it's been going on for, you know, quite a few years now. So starting to, you know, blossom, and there's awareness. But I think that it's really important to tap into the students at a younger age. So secondary is a crucial time in their lives. Grade 10, grade 11, grade 12. I remember when I was in high school, we had, my high school had all sorts of different architecture, skills, trades, programs, from everything from hairdressing to draftsman. That's the courses I took. So they had automotive, they had construction, carpentry, cooking classes. I know they still have them in our schools, not a lot of them, but they have a couple. They have a couple of options. I don't know how it is in the US, but, you know, I mean, these are the places we have to start to mm-hmm. educate our students on the building enclosure and building science.
So I guess tapping into that more specifically, how exactly should we attract them?
What do you mean, the students? How should we attract the students, you're saying?
Yeah. So how do we attract them to the industry? Students.
So, well, that's exactly what we have to do. We have to go into, schools. And I know because I do that here locally. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of panel discussions. I'm a keynote speaker. So I speak at a lot of the schools, even sometimes it's just grade 12s, that I'm hosting, and I bring awareness to the building science, but I also bring it to the manufacturing sector. So STEM. So I used to sit on a committee for, CME, Canadian Manufacturing and Exporters, and, that's what we were doing. We were trying to push manufacturing, and now I'm trying to push to the students in grades 11 and 12, and really tap into them to that, make them understand how many more opportunities that they have out there. And it's funny because I have I mentioned I have an 18-year-old, and she, her friends, you know, they all came over last year. They already had their minds all set on what they wanted to do. And I asked them, what do you guys want to do? Like, what are your goals? What are you guys looking at for university? And all of them mentioned the courses and professions that had nothing to do with building science. Mm-hmm. And it was like amazing. It's like six girls, not one. So that's where what scares me is because they didn't have awareness to it. Because then when I started explaining to them about the different opportunities that they have in the building enclosure sector, mm-hmm. they were like, oh my God, I didn't know that. And, you know, so it's not educated at a younger age. So it's not mm-hmm. educated in the high school levels. So once we get to post-secondary, those kids are already got, they're set. They know what they're doing. You know, they're already in their courses, right? So you have to tap into the younger students in high school and really just engage with them, mentoring them, and bring, like I said, bring awareness to mm-hmm. our sector. And that's how you educate them. And that's how they find interest to it. You have to, obviously, you know, kids learn on TikTok, kids learn on Instagram, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what you have to do. Just start marketing it on there, your association, start getting, you know, awareness to TikTok. I know it sounds crazy, but that's how they relate.
Yeah. No, I know. It, you know,
you're laughing at me.
I know. I am laughing because I can completely understand and agree with what you're saying, but I would like to see it start even earlier. Like I personally this week I did a kindergarten visit at an elementary school by us. And I went there and I talked about what I did for a living. And no one knew, I mean, there were six-year-olds, granted, but no one knew what an architect was.
True.
And yep. I explained, you know, they design buildings as simply as I could put it for them. And, so they make everything. I'm like, well, there's engineers and there's consultants and contractors, and it's a whole community that creates buildings and, you know, our surrounding neighborhoods. And they were so in awe because they had never even thought about that concept. Yeah. And no one had told them about, you know, they knew what police officers and teachers and nurses, like they knew those professions, but you know, there was a whole, our sector that they weren't really that aware of. And it was surprising to me, maybe because I don't know, maybe I'm in the industry. So I didn't think that other kids wouldn't know. I know my kids know what architects are. So it just never dawned to me that that wasn't a profession that some kids know about.
Right. You know, the thing is, Lindsay, with that, that's a fantastic idea. Can you still hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I think it's a fantastic idea, but it also might have to come through the school boards. Mm-hmm. So we need to bring awareness to the school boards. And when you bring the awareness to the school boards, I mean, to connect, to go speak, be a speaker at any of your local schools, I'm sure in the US, it's like Canada, you have to go through the school board to ask for permission, right? So for example, us now here in Canada, we're engaging with all the local universities and colleges already. So that way it's already embedded. And also your association should get involved with a parliament. Here we have ministers. So Minister of Education, I don't know how you guys have in the US, in the States, different states, right?
Right.
So here we have ministers in Ontario and throughout Canada, and so provincially. And so you engage with them. You engage with your Minister of Education. You let them know your thoughts. You have table discussions with them. And you have to let them know what's lacking. What's lacking in our curriculums? What's lacking in our schools? What are we lacking as business owners, as entrepreneurs? How it all comes from that. Like, what drives economies? What drives economy is having skilled trades, is having diversity, is having prosperous businesses, small businesses growing, right? That's a we know that, right? So I'm just throwing a little bit of business out there, but common sense business. So you know, anyways, a train of thought. Just I'm jumbling a lot of pieces together. But I think you're right about, you know, getting to a younger age, but we can't go to every school and every, you know, like we can't do that. It's a lot, right? So we got to go to the school boards, we tap into them, and then they start educating our children at a younger age. For now, our associations need to focus, like IBEC needs to focus on really getting into the heads of the secondary school right now, and getting into our kids and just bringing awareness, supporting our students already in post-secondary that are in the building science courses and programs. And then, yeah, I agree with you. Bring it on to the younger, right? To little kids. You're right. You know, like a little kid shouldn't, my daughter growing up, she loved dolphins and animals until and when she was in daycare, she was like 3 years old, graduating to go to JK here. And, so everybody put up their sign of the little kids, what they wanted to be when they grow up. And you're right. Most of them had police officer, teacher, nurse, you know, doctor. My daughter put up this random sign, marine biologist, right? So, but you know, you're right. They learn from youth, from, you know, child, from when they're little babies, you know, like what they love is what they're going to, that passion's going to always drive them. My daughter's still into animals and still kind of stemming more into psychology, but still loves the animals and would still love to do something with animals in the future with horses and stuff like that. And so you're right. You have to really tap into them when they're little babies, when they're young, at a young age, elementary school. You're right. 100%.
So this has been so great. Where can our listeners go to learn more about the work you're doing? How can they become involved?
Well, with IBEC, you can go to our website. You can type in the search engine, you can just type in diversity and inclusion in the search bar. And then just to find out more about IBEC's mission for D&I, supporting also women associations like National Women in Roofing or National Association of Women in Construction, or even KWIC, Canadian Women in Construction, or even just to join associations would be a good idea. A lot of joining the associations and becoming a member, and then, you know, maybe supporting like a committee that through all the chapters. I'm speaking within IBEC. You know, we have many chapters across globally, but in the US we have many chapters there that people can become a member, and even here in Canada. So become a member, participate, really tap into the mission that IBEC is bringing with diversity and inclusion, because I'll tell you why. As an entrepreneur, I'm a member of many associations in our sector, and not one of them is, no, sorry, I lied. Two of them are driving really diversity and inclusion. Mm-hmm. One was CME that I mentioned, Canadian Manufacturing Exporters, and globally, this one, IBEC. And because our building enclosure sector is really male dominant, it's always, we've known, everybody knows, it's a white man's world. That change has to be acknowledged and has to really needs to change for all of us, not only in Canada, but I'm sure in the US. It will make us prosper in our sector, because there's a lot of talent, and we just got to tap into that talent and just get over it.
If anyone listening has any questions, please feel free to reach out to myself or Laura, and we'd love to continue the conversation. Until next time, visit us on buildingenclosureonline.com for all your technical and educational resources.